First scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture readings, this one is with Kings, 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. And it's one of the great prophets in Israel. A famine has come upon the land, and God said, "Go over here and talk to this woman." This is what happens. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink.' As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' But she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' Elijah said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sets rain on the earth.' She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." And now this word that Jesus speaks to his disciples as he is leaving, it comes from John 14. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've got a famous fable for you that describes something that's close to a miracle. A mother put her week-old baby in a basket in the shade of her house, and then she went to her well to draw water. And the sky was a brilliant blue, but she could see over the mountains on the horizon that a thunderstorm was brewing. As the mother rested her pail of water on the rim of the well, she looked back towards her baby, and the newborn was wiggling his hands, and she thought he'd probably need to be fed soon. And sure enough, the baby started to wrinkle up its face and wail. And just as the woman heaved the two pails on the yoke to go back to the house, an eagle came down and snatched up the baby out of the basket. She ran to the village and she raised the alarm. And one of the hunters knew the location of the eagle's nest on the top of a mountain. And everyone ran to the base of that mountain, and an expedition of hunters charged up the mountain to save the child. But the storm blew in and they were beaten back. Amid the howling wave wind and the pelting sleet, the villages, they huddled and despaired. But as the storm subsided, a lone individual was seen climbing down the mountain, the baby strapped to her back like a papoose. The whole village stared in astonishment as the mother of the baby staggered into view. An older child asked his father, "How is it that she could rescue the baby and four strong hunters could not?" And his father answered, "The child was not their son. For the hunters, it was a child in danger, and they climbed with determination and skill. But for the mother, it was her beloved child, and her fierce love for him gave her incredible courage and strength." In our text from John 14, we have profound words and a promise given to us by Jesus Christ. And it is that during the and amidst the storms of life, when everything seems dark and obstacles seem too great to conquer, we will be, as St. Paul tells us, more than conquerors through him who loves us. For our Savior, we will be the beloved child, and he will give us peace to bear what must be borne and courage to do what seems impossible. The peace of Christ is not like calmness or contentment. The peace of Christ is not of this world and will shine through the darkest night of the soul. When Jesus tells us of the peace that he will give us, he's summarizing all the times that God came to our rescue, opened locked doors, and brought us home safe. For the peace of God is more than just a platitude for dark days. It looks back to the time when the Hebrew people fled the enslavement and oppression of the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and when armies and mounted cavalry seemed to promise certain violence and death. And yet God was with the people, and he rescued them from annihilation. The text of Elijah and the blessing of food and water during famine also reminds us of God's care. The widow, who has no husband to support her, no savings against prolonged famine, gives what she has. She honors the ancient custom of showing hospitality to strangers by giving all she had. And her obedience is the ultimate fulfillment of love your neighbor as yourself. She makes an extreme sacrifice in order to continue to be a person of faith in the worst circumstances. And because she is obedient and kind, even at great cost to herself and her family, she is blessed. Isaiah reminds us, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When we put God first in all things get better with God in the mix. Yes, our loved ones will not ultimately be saved from death, but we will be saved from annihilation. When we love our neighbor with a sacrificial love, our church, our community, our world will be a better place. No, violence will not cease across the globe, but peace and love will start to triumph more and more. And the more faithful and willing we are to sacrifice in order to bless others and our world, the more peace and joy we will experience, and justice will triumph over tyranny. This is how we bring the kingdom of God into being in a flawed and fallen world. How do we keep going when it's very personal, when it's us who needs to be rescued, when we are overcome with fear and run over by life, when it's our child who is snatched away, or our life that is in danger? How do we summon the courage and strength to do the morally correct things when the cost may be our friendships, our career, or our life? The great American civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was a person who faced such a trial and more than once. He endured vilification, beatings, imprisonment, death threats. His house was firebombed, and ultimately he gave his life for others and the cause of civil liberty and freedom. How did he do it? Martin Luther King Jr. believed that God had called him into this work and that he could not refuse or look back. Let us remind ourselves of what courage born of faith looked like in his life. When King was just 26, he was appointed leader of the civil rights movement in Montgomery, Alabama. He was the target of terrifying threats from the Ku Klux Klan, and he was harassed by police. One day, he was arrested for driving 5 miles over the speed limit and thrown in jail. The night after his release, he was at home when the phone rang and a menacing voice said, "Nigger, we are tired of your mess. And if you aren't out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow up your house and blow up your brains." We can imagine how afraid he must have been for himself, for his loyal wife, for his little children. While he sat at his kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee, he was thinking about what he should do. And King said this, "As I sat at that table thinking about my little girl and thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from me at any minute, and I started thinking about my dedicated, devoted, and loyal wife who was over there asleep, and I got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I was weak." King continued to think, and he said, "And I discovered then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I'll never forget it. I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage.'" We may never have received death threats, but I bet every one of us has been pushed to our limits and perhaps beyond. How do we stay the course and do what is morally right and faithful amid fear? King said this is how he overcame fear and embraced sacrificial love as he prayed at his kitchen table. He said, "And it seemed to me at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, 'Martin Luther Jr., stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world.' I heard the voice of Jesus saying still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." 3 nights later, the menacing threat made in the phone call came true. A bomb exploded on the front veranda of the King house, but thankfully, no one was hurt. King was able to get through it and remarked, "My religious experience a few nights before had given me the strength to face it." And so it continued to be throughout his ministry. Again and again, Dr. Martin Luther Jr., King Jr., returned to that experience to strengthen him as he faced down his own fear and doubt. Now, the scriptures are full of the experience of mere human beings facing terrible tragedy, threats, and fear. The scriptures are full of the experiences of people like you and me dealing with sickness and death. But the scriptures are also full of stories of overcoming. Ordinary people overcome incredible evil, accident, tragedy. People like you and me face down oppression and speak truth to power. People who are not so different than you and me deal with sickness and death and learn to overcome them by faith in Jesus Christ and the great creator of the universe. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us and gives us strength and courage. What is courage, says G.K. Chesterton, but fear that has said its prayers? The peace of Christ is real and powerful. And as a Christian, it is your birthright. So claim it. Live into it. And overcome the barriers, the tragedy, the evil that keeps you down. Discover the will and the strength to cope and to even find joy amid the whirlwind. Charge into the kingdom of God like that mother charged up the mountainside. For God in Christ is with you, for you, and will never abandon you. Amen.